And now, talking to the boyhood heroes who became his broadcasting colleagues, this is My Radio 1 with Sean
Tilly. From its launch in 1967, right through the 70s to the mid-80s, BBC Radio 1 was probably the world's biggest music station. In this series, I'll be introducing you to many of the people behind the network's success during those golden years, as they each tell the story of their Radio 1. And look who's here.
Steve Wright.
Thank you very much.
It's a delight to see you, Steve. Thank you for coming on to My Radio 1.
And you.
Well, look, after a couple of years in local commercial radio and that heaving, throbbing metropolis that we know as Reading, it was a national break on dear old Radio Luxembourg at first.
Yeah. Well, there was a man there called Richard Swainson, Dickie Swainson. And he was the guy that used to make the commercials when we worked at Radio 210, as it was called then, in Reading in Berkshire. And I was there, as you probably have discovered, in part with Mike Reed. And also, we were allowed to broadcast on our own. And I used to do this thing on, I think it was a Saturday night program called Pop Party or something. It had some kind of ridiculous name. And I used to let loose a bit on Saturday night, you know. It was a bit serious jocking, but more. And Richard Swainson used to tune in and he'd say, you know, you should really work somewhere else. And I said, well, I like it here. and so do you. So anyway, we forgot about it. And then he went to Radio Luxembourg to become, I can't remember what he was now. He was quite a big
like
cheater.
An assistant program director.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. And he called me up and he said, do you want to work at Radio Luxembourg? And I honestly had never, ever considered it. It wasn't on my radar. I mean, I listened to Radio Luxembourg and used to listen to Peter Powell and Mark Wesley and Bob Stewart and all those people. But I never, ever considered moving to a different country to broadcast back to the UK. And I said, well, okay, shall I come up and see you? And they offered me a job right there and then. And before I knew it, by the end of, I think it might have been 1979,
yeah.
I think I was already in Luxembourg. And I said to my girlfriend, do you want to come and live in Luxembourg? She said, no. I said, please. She said, all right, let's do it. So we went over there and we found ourselves broadcasting to the most of Europe and even the world at Radio Luxembourg. So it was me suddenly from local radio in national radio.
Compiled from news agencies around the world, this is Radio Luxembourg News.
And with the news at 10, this is Steve Wright. The so-called lamb war between Britain and France is over. The French have sent a letter to the British Agricultural Minister, Peter Walker, saying that the country will accept sheep meat imports from the beginning of next year. They imposed the ban, which was declared illegal by the European Court, in order to protect their own lamb trade.
I remember your last show on Luxy very well, because you left us in no doubt whatsoever the gig that you were going on to. Apart from saying the name of Radio 1, I remember you saying that my new studio is going to look out on Regent Street.
Did I?
It's so handy for shopping. We've got a clip. Let's have a listen.
I'm moving to another national radio station that's up on 285 metres in the medium wave band. My new studio will overlook Regent Street. It's so easy for shopping, you see. And I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's not quite our last song together. This is our last song together. It's the way I came in, so it's the way I'm going out. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I'll see you in 1980. This has been Steve Wright on Radio Luxembourg.
So there you were, all of a sudden, 5th of January 1980, very first programme on a Saturday night, kind of doing a Luxy show, but there on the big one, Radio 1.
Yeah, I mean, I was very lucky to be on Radio 1 because, again, there's always a story that goes with these things. From Radio Luxembourg, a man called Stuart Grundy had called me up and was an executive producer at Radio 1. And he said, oh, I like what you're doing, because when I was at Radio Luxembourg, I started doing all stuff that I shouldn't do. I was doing lifestyle stuff and a little bit of comedy and a little bit of stuff that wasn't normal for Radio Luxembourg. So they started telling me off, and then this guy, Stuart Grundy, calls up, and I think, oh, thank goodness, it's not somebody telling me off. He said, why don't you come over and do a show? So I came over, and I found myself on Radio 1, and as you say, I was doing Saturday evening show. I think before me was Tommy Vance, who I was terrified of, because it was Tommy Vance. It was the guy with the voice that I'd known and loved. And I suddenly found myself on Radio 1. I'd never been so nervous. And, I mean, even thinking about it now, I'm starting to shake. Because you think, how did this happen? What happened?
Well, now, I had a letter from 65 Harris Drive in Kirkcaldy in Fife in Scotland. Yaray! Says, dear Steve, this is just a short note to wish you all the best for your first show on Saturday. Hope you have as much success and good fun with Radio 1 as you obviously had last year. That's what he says. Very happy new year to you, and that's love from Elaine Kerr. Also, Anthony Ryan of 1 Brayton Place in Wimmer in Leeds sends his good wishes. Thank you very much indeed.
You know, I'm beavering away on local radio, and I've worked for the news desk, and I've learned all these things on how to, you know, interview, and that, but suddenly I find myself in the big league, and I'm not entirely sure I was ready for it.
Well, you say that. I mean, within about 4 weeks, you were doing Top of the Pops as well. This is just surreal stuff now, isn't it?
No more surreal than to me than anybody else. I mean, it was insane. I'm down there at Top of the Pops, and I don't remember the first Top of the Pops because it was a total blur.
Hello, I'm Steve Wright, and welcome to another edition of Top of the Pops and the charts to Jefferson Starship.
You go down there and you rehearse and you think, you just can't believe you're doing that show that previously you'd watched for years and years and years.
Okay, I understand Freddie Mercury and his band Queen have been getting into ballet recently. Let's hear their latest single.
You find yourself on Radio 1 and you find yourself doing Top of the Pops and you think, this is not right. I mean, I definitely thought, you're an imposter, aren't you, Righty?
It was a very different kind of Radio 1 show, as you said, because you were doing lateral thinking and competitions and reading horoscopes and things like that. It's very, very different, wasn't it? But unique at the same time.
I don't know. I just want...
You're being modest now.
No, I'm not. I mean, I did want to come into Radio 1 at the time and do something that Radio 1 weren't doing. And I thought just me being there, being a geekier guy and not a guy, you know, driving around a sports car, and you know, because the Radio 1 people at that time were people like Peter Powell, you know, great looking guys.
What are you saying, Peter Powell?
Am I allowed to speak?
You're allowed. What, do you want to get on a microphone over there? Because we're on the FM here.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, yes. Now, what's going down today, man?
What's going down? Actually, an extended stepping out, which I know you'll find particularly funky, and we'll spend most of the time on the ground.
I like to do a bit of flash
and
dancing.
Out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to take the best records that we've played over the last 6 months on stepping out, and we're going to mix and segue and counter-mix and counter-segue.
Oh,
and
beats per minute.
BPM and all this kind of thing. And we're basically going to get down and stay down right the way through till 7 o'clock.
I'm already getting down! Yes!
So I was in there, a local radio geeky guy, and I thought, well, okay, let's bring some of the commercial radio stuff to Radio 1. So I thought, well, what do people like to hear about? They like to hear about the news. They like to hear about things going on. They like to hear about, you know, like a little quiz or something like that. And I thought, you know, you hear a lot of those quizzes on local radio at night. I thought, well, I'll bring some of that to Radio 1, see if they like it.
It's 7 minutes to 10. Okay, we asked you to picture a field which is empty apart from two pieces of coal, a scarf, a pipe, and a hat. A difficult one? No, I'm afraid not. The question was, how did it get there and why? Remember, there was nobody in the field, so how did they get there? All those items. Do you want to know? You do, don't you? The answer is a melted snowman.
And some of the things that I was doing on that first programme were just a little bit not very Radio 1. And they would pull me aside and they say, don't you think you should concentrate on the music? And I would say, well, the music speaks for itself. And then there's me, and I enjoy the music, but we want to give something extra. And so I just kind of, you know, as I've done in a lot of my career, I've just kind of argued it through, not been unpleasant, but just argued it through and kind of made my point. Sometimes they went with it, sometimes they didn't.
And the cinema reviews as well, they were great. Nobody done that before on Radio 1 either. It started initially on Staying Alive.
That's right.
Yeah. And it was great because presumably all these free tickets in the West End too.
Well, I've always loved films. And in local radio, you know yourself that you get to go to films because the film companies want to have the stars on your show and they want you to talk about the movies. And I've always loved films. I mean, I adore films, still do to this day. So I thought, well, who doesn't go and see films? Everybody's interested in movies. I mean, I wasn't the first. I mean, Barry Norman was sort of beavering away on the television doing it. But I thought, yeah, I'd not heard that before. I'd not heard people doing shows about movies on Radio 1 or even mentioning movies.
We found a good clip, actually. In fact, it's a belter, Rock Films 80. I bet you don't even remember doing it, do you?
Uh-oh, let's hear.
Rock Films 80. Radio 1's look back over some of the movies that have featured the best rock and pop music in 1980. Rock Films 80, Breaking Glass, Xanadu, Urban Cowboy, Can't Stop the Music, The Blues Brothers, and McVicar.
So there we are, Rock Films 80.
Well,
First time you've heard it these years.
That's awful. I mean,
it's great.
I think I sound. I don't know what it was. When I came to Radio 1, they said, I saw Public School Boys here, you know. So I think I might be putting on a voice there.
Have a wonderful crowd here. We'll tell you what we've got.
Now, Sunday the 15th of June 1980, that was your very first Radio 1 roadshow.
Yeah, I think it might have been somewhere in the West Country.
You are absolutely right. It was Manor Farm, Holt in Wiltshire, and it was the 24-hour Lawnmower Grand Prix. What about that?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you a story about that because, unfortunately, I got told off after that. I mean, it was great fun. And then I wasn't told that you have to stand there and do the autographs.
Oh, yes. Of course, in the Goody Mobile.
In the Goody Mobile.
Yeah.
So I went missing. After the show, I went missing to sit down because it was just very traumatic. You know, I'd just been on the Radio 1 road show and done all the whole thing. I had the Radio 1 jacket on and everything. And I thought that went very well. But I'm going to have to sit down now and just ponder what I've just done. And then everybody was looking for me. They said, what's the matter with you? They want you in the goody truck and do autographs. I said, oh, okay. And I got a bit of a telling off from Johnny Beerling, who was running the show down there. But I said, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't know. I actually didn't know. Nobody told me. So anyway, I went down there and stood for 2 hours. 2 hours and did the autographs.
The penance sort of thing, yeah. Right.
I'll tell you what, when I got here yesterday, when the team got here, I thought this was going to be a quiet gig.
And what was impressive about the road show, as it was then, it used to go from town to town like a circus. People really did come out and see it. And it was always good weather. I used to come on, and it was terrifying. If you were doing it, it was terrifying because the pips would come on at 11 and it'd all be silent. You'd previously been warming up the audience and then it would all go quiet and it would go beep, beep.
The Radio 1 Roadshow.
Today, live from Summerlee's Beach, viewed with Steve Wright. Oh, good morning. There is nobody here at all.
And then suddenly you were on and you're thinking, OK, you know, 12 million listening, 25,000 people in front of you. The pressure's on.
We are at the bottom of a beautiful, picturesque sand dune that you wouldn't believe. There is sand everywhere. Hang on, there goes a camel. There goes a camel at the top there. He's got the hump. The sea is behind us. The sea is beautiful and blue. There are jellyfish floating in it. And it's just, I would say, how far away is it, Dave? It's about, a quarter of a mile, less than a quarter of a mile behind us, and the tide is on its way in, and no doubt will wash us away in the fullness of time.
I mean, that love of trivia that you've always had, it was very evident even in the early days as well, because you did these programmes like the Amazing Facts and Figures show,
yeah,
and the Rock List show as well. Would you presumably be putting these together yourself, would you?
Yeah, absolutely, and we're still doing it today. I mean, the theory behind it is You know, even with the programmes that I do today on Radio 2, I mean, we have factoids. I mean, it's virtually the same thing. It's something just in a different format. And you know yourself, when you do a radio show, or a daily radio show for certain, you're going to run out of material. And there's going to be days when it's a light news day. So you're going to have something interesting to say or do. So I'd have to say that those things that I did back in the day, as you say, are really fillers. They're fillers, but they, you know, people started to latch on to them. So, oh, I really like this. I really like the true stories or factoids or whatever it happens to be. And I like the trivia stuff that you do. So I've just included it really in everything that I do. And those things, I mean, basically you can recycle those things. You're probably still hearing them from 1981 on my show today. But, you know, they're fascinating. It's fascinating facts, isn't it? And who doesn't like that?
And the number one amusing name is actor Rip Torn. I actually saw it on the credits of a film. Rip Torn is his name. Other amusing names which come under a special financial section include Eddie Money and Wally Tax and Johnny Paycheck. Now,
Steve Wright. I used to like you when you did the... I mean, I still do, of course, but the Saturday mornings, we used to do the old, something borrowed, something new, something blue. I mean, you know, this was good stuff. I used to do requests for people going to football games up and down the country. Yeah.
Well,
that was really good.
That was in the early days of Radio 1 suddenly decided that they needed to compete with commercial radio because obviously, you know, commercial radio was well on its way around the country. I think there must have been maybe 20-odd stations by the early 80s. I mean, I can't really remember the exact amount, but there were quite a lot. And they were all creating their own stars, their local stars and what have you, and some became national names, obviously. So what they used to do is analyse what people wanted on a particular day. And this was almost the first time national popular radio did this. So, you know, it doesn't take much to understand that people are going to football matches on a Saturday afternoon.
I had a letter from Diane Collinson of 15, Airesdale Close in Lancaster. She says, I always listen to Radio 1. Well, I should hope so. Diane's a Liverpool supporter, and she's doing mock O-levels this week, so good luck on those. And here's some more football news.
Yes, this is what people are doing on a Saturday morning. This is what we might, you know, open out and do. So in those very early shows, I think we did weddings on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm doing them on a Sunday now. But
yeah, so now these shows really is it. But also Your Mother Should Know as well. That was good.
Okay, now if I recall, was that something like Your Mother Should Know?
It was an old record.
Yeah, was it?
You'd be, you know, really enthusiastic about, have a listen to this. It could be from 1953 or whatever, you know. But presumably you get an enormous mailbag in these days.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. I mean, it was. It would be sacks of mail. It's stunning the amount of reaction you get from just doing something, you know, something quite silly sometimes. You know, you just never know what works. But my theory has been if you throw a lot at it, then some of it's going to stick. And that's what we did in the old days. And, you know, those shows were great. I really love those shows.
I'd like to say good evening to Leslie and Beryl Reed. No, it's not that Beryl Reed. In actual fact, it's Mike Reed's mum and dad. And they sent me a card wishing me lots of luck. And the reason I mention it is because I thought it might be nice to mention Mike Reed. So, Mike Reed.
You mentioned that you worked with Mike Reed, of course, at Radio 210 in Reading. And what was really, really good in the early days when you were at Radio 1 is you and Reedy did a couple of the Reed and Wright shows, didn't you?
Yep.
Steve, by the way, is just having a little gulp of
soup.
A soup which is not particularly to his fancy.
Sean, I hate this soup. I don't know why they get it for me. I mean, I really quite like the
pot
pie.
Let's talk about the soup.
Yeah, I like the pot pie. But whatever this is, there's some kind of vegetable with bits in it.
Yeah, it's probably really good for you, though.
Well, it's probably good for me, but, you know, I'm trying to do a documentary here.
So, yeah, Reed and Wright on Radio 1.
Yeah, I mean, I've always got on great with Mike Reed, although both of us would admit that we're not really all that happy in a team. As most teams, you know, you just want to do your own thing. And we were so different. And
that was good in a way, though,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And when we were working in local radio together, it was fantastic. And we picked that little kind of kinship up on Radio 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Reed and Steve Wright's Christmas show.
Thank you. Welcome back.
Oh, no more canned applause. No more canned applause.
Come on, let's do the jingle then. You ready?
Read and write, read and write, read and write, read and write, read and write. Are a couple of turkeys.
He was almost in the stratosphere at Radio 1.
Yeah.
When I first joined Radio 1, he was already up there. He didn't need me.
But he wanted to work with you. That was the thing.
he didn't want me.
Be honest, though. Was Mike very helpful to you in the early days at Radio 1?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would imagine he would be.
He just showed me the ropes. I said, OK, what's that like? What's he like? What's that? What are they like? What do we do here? What do we do there? And he showed me the way. Absolutely, he showed me the way.
What you got next?
Well, I got next.
Yeah.
You don't know what I like, but next. I've been working, actually, on a 12 Days of Christmas top 12.
A top 12?
12 Days of Christmas. Haven't got very far yet. A funny one. Trouble is, I can't think of anything funny.
Same old story.
Now, finally, after all this depping that you were doing for about 18 months, Monday the 21st of September 1981, at first 2:30 to 4:30, there you were for the very first time in the afternoon, and in those days, sandwiched in between Paul Burnett and Peter Powell.
Yeah. Well, I have a vague recollection of actually doing a show with Paul Burnett.
I'm not going on.
You're not going on?
No, no, I'm too uptight.
Oh, dear.
I'm so uptight today. I'm just so annoyed.
Oh, what's up?
Have you got your car in here today?
I have.
Well, you'd know. I mean, you just can't move out there.
Oh, the traffic was a bit bad.
God, it's bumper to bumper on Marble Arch, Piccadilly, Oxford Street, Lower Regent Street, Regent's Park, Euston Road.
Do you know what? Kenny Everett came out with a great idea on his TV show.
What's that?
He said that to make more room on our roads, all the Volvos should take their bumpers off.
And then they split us up so that we would do... I guess I did 2 hours, and then he did 2 hours.
Yeah. How did you find working with somebody like Paul, who'd been there a long time, obviously, and was a big Radio 1 star without ever appearing on Top of the Pops that much and stuff, and a lovely man, of course.
I have to say that Paul Burnett influenced me because he was always very, very funny, and still is, and a great broadcaster, and struck always by his enthusiasm on the air. I mean, never, ever would he sound depressed, though he didn't want to be there. And he would make little kind of jokes, gaffes and stuff, and he would always rescue himself. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. A real proper human being on the air, but also immensely funny and just great. I mean, he was great. He influenced me.
Pass the programme from the left-hand side. Pass the programme from the left-hand side. Pass the programme. I am passing it from the left-hand side when you think about it. You're on the other side of the corridor. I'm passing this show over from this side of the corridor, the left, to you on the right.
Am
symbolism.
I on the right today?
Yes, Steve.
Oh, Steve Wright.
Right.
Oh, that's the same as that song. That is the same as...
Yes.
What is that song?
This cloud in the sky.
That's right.
Yeah.
I always wanted to speak at his speed, and I always wanted to not be like him, but, you know, just... take a little bit from him, just his attitude. I think a great attitude.
Yeah, lovely voice too.
He does. He's got a good voice.
Still, yeah. Still has it to this day.
Much like yourself.
Well, I don't know about that, Steve. Thanks very much. Thanks, though. You made a middle-aged man very happy. I guess this was the point, though, when you moved into the afternoon. You're doing it for real now. This is your program.
Steve Wright in the afternoon.
Yes, 2:33 in Great Britain. It's Easter Monday, and yes, it's Steve Wright in the afternoon. How you doing? All right. Talking to you in a minute.
I didn't really know what they expected of me, so I think I probably played it quite careful.
You were working with Malcolm Brown at this time in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, he was great for me. Malcolm, if I could describe Malcolm, he'd done a lot of work with Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, right? And he knew Viv Stanchel very well.
Yeah.
and he was a fan of comedy, and he likes Spike Milligan. So Malcolm would go, I think, Steve, why don't you just do this and I won't say anything? So I said, OK, all right then, Malcolm, I'll do that. And that's what we did.
There goes the phone. Hang on just a sec. Hello?
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 Hello, it's so nice to be here in the stereo. Hello, everyone here at the labs are very concerned about the man in Glasgow who swallowed a £1 coin.
Yes, how is he now, Professor?
How is he?
Yeah.
Still no change.
Thanks for your help.
And we had all kinds of little features going on, and we would, you know, slip in a few ideas that they didn't know about, and we'd try and, I don't know, you just, that's the way it was in those days. It was kind of like you were able to just do something new, and hopefully, because it's your program, you're allowed to try it. And that's always been the great thing, by the way, about old school Radio 1. They would eventually let you go with something and let you experiment. And that is, you know, in keeping, as you know, with the BBC.
Well, it's Monday afternoon on BBC Radio 1. Young Steve Wright doing it here. And it's time to welcome a man who hasn't one enemy in the world. Mind you, all his friends hate him. Damien, the Radio 1 social worker, looks like he's coming in here. Damien, mind those boxes,
hello, man. Sorry, I bumped into your box again here.
He's telling you about that.
Monday afternoon vibes, man. Monday afternoon vibes. I must say, but I really do feel very relevant this afternoon.
Well, you look relevant. Now, how's the fundraising going? I hear you want to raise some money to buy seeds for the organic garden,
eh? That's right, man. Yes. Actually, I must tell you, man, my descendants used to be social workers.
Really? I didn't know that.
My great-grandfather was Damien Turnpike.
Really?
Who decided the best way to raise funds was to become a highwayman.
Oh.
You know, stagecoaches and banks were his speciality, man.
I didn't know that.
Stand and deliver, he used to shout.
Really?
Had to give it up, though, man, after shouting in a maternity ward.
Oh, that's bad news. Okay, so you're in humorous mood today. What are you up to later?
Mate, we're holding the commune.
Yes, I see.
And I'm in charge of buying the costumes and grotesque masks.
Are you? I was going to say, that's a great one you've got on.
No, I'm not wearing it yet, man.
Oh. Well, we'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow, man. Yes. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
The BBC has a great history of just, all right, go ahead and see what you can do.
Radio 1 trailer, Mr. Horrible Voice.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Goodness gracious me.
It's the Horrible Voice.
Yes.
I'm just popping in here to let you know that I'm thinking of slithering by a little later on and saying disgusting, despicable things on the Steve Wright Show. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye,
Mr. Horrible Voice.
Now, we talked about Malcolm Brown. We must also give a mention to the lovely Dave Tate, because it was during his time as the producer of your programme that you developed characters such as Damien the Social Worker and the Horrible Voice that we've heard there, not forgetting the truly iconic Mr. Angry. Tell me the story of how he was dreamt up.
Mr. Angry was a satire on the complaining suburban anger of the 80s. He was actually based on a real-life character who used to work in a gallery on the technical side of a television show. Now, one of the technical operators, a guy called David Wernham, it was his dad that worked at this TV station, and apparently, according to Dave, he used to lose his temper a little bit, and he used to say, I'm so angry, I could throw the phone down. So we thought that was very good, and then we kind of developed the character, and Dave himself, the son, did the character for us, which was handy because he was always available. We used to have great fun, and we often used to be not able to do it because we would go to pieces, as we did with a lot of the characters.
Coming up soon, we'll reset the CTQ. We've got the showbiz gossip, anniversary trivia, and more surveys.
Steve Wright.
Yes.
This is me again from Purley, Mr. Angry.
Mr. Angry.
Well, I've been looking through the papers this morning, and it makes me very angry. It
makes me sick.
All this stuff about George Orwell.
Yes.
It makes me sick.
Does it?
I've been reading through the Radio Times. You can't move for him in there.
I know.
And all the magazines, everything you look at is all about George Orwell.
Well, once I agree
with
you.
He's on the television. He's on the radio.
I know.
Book of bedtime. It makes me so angry. He didn't get anything right, did he?
No.
What's the matter
No.
Yes, only 2 days old. Oh, I'm sick and tired of him already. He makes me so angry.
How angry?
I could throw the phone down.
Thanks for your help.
What makes us so angry? We can throw the phones down.
Here we are then, heading towards the autumn of 2022, and after the best part of four decades in the afternoon on both radios 1 and 2, you're stepping down. I mean, it's hard for us to imagine you doing another show, and it must be just as hard for you, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I did at Radio 1, when I was at Radio 1, I did do the breakfast programme. I mean, I know you're only going up to a certain date in these things, but maybe we'll talk about that at a different time. But I've always, I'm the bloke in the afternoon.
Hello.
Hello.
Steve Wright in the afternoon.
Yes, who is this?
Yes, it's Joan Collins here.
Not now, Joan. Will you hang up? We're too busy here. Goodbye.
Steve Wright in the afternoon. Stereo music.
Radio 1.
Where you'll always hear a better sound.
But you are staying here at the BBC, which I, for one, am absolutely thrilled about, not to mention millions of other people across the UK. And I just wanted to thank you, Steve, for all the support you've given me personally, particularly the My Radio 1 series, not only promoting it on Radio 2, but for also guesting on it as well.
Well, Sean, I'm very, very grateful for you asking me. Frankly, you're the only one that's asked in...
No, I'm not having that.
30 years. I don't know. Nobody else asks, so... Why don't you share this?
Well, I'm very glad I did in that case.
Sure. Share this soup with me. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.